This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's music mix, today's music generation. It's Luke Moore, it's Pete Donaldson. This is the Luke and Pete Show.
Bada bye bye.
What was the bada bye bye?
Yeah, just doing a bit of Pato Banton.
Little bit of Pato Banton, yeah. Who had a CD collection of Bob Marley.
Yeah. A whole collection.
A whole collection. Yeah. I mean, just get the best ofs.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. And his missus chipped off with him when she left.
Yeah.
And she wants him back.
So that was...
Small claims. Pato Banton down the small claims court.
I think it's probably mid-90s,
yeah.
I'd say.
Do you reckon he ever got on back? He would have been seconds away from his CD collection being consigned to the dustbin of history anyway, you would argue.
Exactly. She's done him a favour there.
Exactly. Very short shelf lives.
Yeah. Very short-sighted of Pato Banton to complain about that as the first of his many grievances over a breakdown of a relationship,
look,
I would
look,
say.
This is a situation where this is the reason why he's not on the radio no more. Because he cannot fathom Pro Tools.
Why are you not on the radio anymore?
Because of the things I did.
But you know what? It shows you how much the world has changed because...
Year-on-year radio figures.
the first thing my wife did when she moved in with me is make me put all my CDs in the loft.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
So Pato Banton thinks he's got it hard. I've still got my CD collection, just out of reach.
Guess where my CDs are? On a USB kit, like basically no dual case, free of any dual cases, yeah. Just completely loose, threaded through an old audio cable and tied at the top. So I've got a big kind of like, in the same way that I think, didn't a man collect a load of nipples back in the day? He chopped them off cadavers and he made a belt out of them. A little bit like that.
Right. Mm. Well, I didn't know you were going to go down that route.
No.
Where's that come from?
I saw a reproduction of said belt. I thought, you know what? It looks pretty charming.
Ed Gein, the guy who is the inspiration for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, he was a fan of the old skin.
Collecting skin.
Yeah, skin. He was. Yeah, he was.
Oh, dear.
A non-traditional start to the Luke and Pete Show, as our listeners have come to know and love. Over the, yeah, maybe it is by now. I am Luke. He is Pete, as Pete's already said.
Yes.
Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address to get us. Get in touch with us and to get us to read your missives. They have to go to that destination. We'll get to a few of them a bit later on. Pete, as we sit here recording this on Monday, the 9th of November,
yeah.
Do you have anything to say vis-a-vis the old election?
I don't know. It was a bit spicy at the start, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a bit, but the Rust Belt did it.
Yeah. But it's not been accepted, has it?
Say again?
It's not been accepted.
It's not been accepted.
No.
In the same way, when I left Absolute Radio, I'd refused to leave.
Accept it, yeah.
Just kept on going. Kept on. Wouldn't let Chris Martin on overnights take over.
I will be back in every day for as long as my pass works.
Who is? Is it George Costanza in Seinfeld? He quits rather emotionally on a Friday afternoon, and then over the weekend he decides to just go back as if he hadn't quit on Friday.
See if anyone remembers.
See if anyone remembers.
Yeah, that's the thing. The way you conduct yourself in the office environment vis-a-vis Fridays.
Yeah,
it's careful. You'll be careful because
very different.
If you get on the big one on the Friday and start busting some skulls, it's going to be forgotten about by Monday. You have to do it all over again on Monday. So yeah, maybe he's fallen foul of that.
An astonishing but entirely predictable situation where the president is literally saying that he's not leaving.
Did you predict a big press conference at a landscaping company?
I don't think anybody could have.
Certainly not them.
What was that? The Four Seasons Landscaping Company.
The talk is
to a dildo shop.
The talk is that they mistook it for the Four Seasons Hotel. I don't know, but I do know you, and so I know it's humanly possible.
Even for ex mayor of New York and concerned, boozophile,
Rudy Giuliani, confirmed boozophile.
He's clearly not a well man, but even for him, I think that's an astonishing turn of events.
Yeah, but you can spin that and say, oh, we're always supporting small businesses. What we're all about.
You can easily spin that. Yeah.
And the liberals.
I don't think he's deft enough for it though.
No, he's not.
No.
The liberals are just using it as a stick to beat us with. But we're for the common people.
Yeah.
Look at my gold lift.
Wonderful.
Yeah, amazing.
But your wife enjoyed the count.
We both did. We got drunk on Saturday night.
Lovely.
Drunk some champagne. Enjoyed ourselves.
Beautiful.
It's great to see people. I mean, look, you know, people feel like a big weight's been lifted. It's a long way to go yet. There's a lot of other things to be taken care of. Do I think JB is, as literally no one calls him, the perfect candidate? No, I don't. And do I think he's going to be the perfect president? Probably not. But the point is, he isn't Donald fucking Trump.
No.
And that's a good enough starting point for me.
Yeah. I think AOC's been speaking quite eloquently about how the importance of... how the vote went in places like Detroit, and how they registered so many new voters over the Black Lives Matter campaign and stuff. And she's sort of saying, you really think that, I can't remember who, and probably never knew in the first place, the person who got in on the Democrat side in Detroit. She's saying, what, do you think he really, because he's a very middling kind of centre representative of Democrats. Do you think he turned everyone out to his thing? Or do you think it was the Black Lives Matter? No one's really talked about how much, bearing in mind how many new voters were registered for this election, and certainly on the Democrat side, like how galvanizing the protest that happened after his death has changed things.
Well, we don't know. I mean, we just don't know that. I mean, I think that.
But they know how many people have been registered, though, haven't they? Right, during the Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, but I think it's also. I mean, I don't want to get my political science hat on, but I do think it's also difficult to properly ascertain what is motivating these people.
Mm.
And it could, you know, it could be any number of things. It could obviously be that. But I think what's interesting is that America is a centre-left country, really.
Mm.
It's been shown. I mean, popular vote shows, you know, that's not how they choose presidents in the United States, but that's shown that Joe Biden will win the popular vote by 5 million votes, probably. That's a lot of vote,
yeah,
right?
But with a right-wing... mechanical kind of
democracy. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, basically, yeah, exactly right. So it'll be fascinating to see what this, and the reason I'm bringing it up is because there does seem to be a huge groundswell among young people for people like AOC, for people like, you know, Phil the Burn, Bernie Sanders, who sounds a bit like this.
Ah, forget about it, George Costanza.
Yeah, and so, but there's also people who are a bit older who maybe want to be a little bit more moderate. So as ever, with a young democracy like the US is, it's going to be interesting to see how it manifests itself and how it goes through into the future. And also, Joe Biden's not a young man.
No.
You know,
wow.
He's the second oldest man to ever live behind that guy in Big Trouble in Little China. You know, so it's interesting to see what's going to manifest itself over the coming months and years. But anyway, look, overall, I passionately believe that Donald Trump was the worst human being to ever hold serious office in the United States, ever hold the office of presidency. So for him not to be there is a great starting point for me. Mm. But I did get drunk on Saturday night celebrating. I did feel like shit on Sunday morning, but it was worth it.
Do you still feel it on a Monday morning? It's Monday morning as we speak.
The good thing is, if I drink with Mimi, she can't drink. So she'll have like two glasses and she's drunk.
Yeah.
And so that stops me.
Right.
So if I go 3, 4, 5 glasses of champagne, 2 or 3 beers, as I did on Saturday night, in the comfort of my own home, stay out of it, the government.
Just close your curtains.
Stay out of it, the deep state, right? Yeah, close your curtains. I do feel bad the next day, but by today, Monday, I'm fine.
Yeah.
If I go on a big heavy session with
the boys,
with my man peed on,
yeah,
it's dangerous for a Monday.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I find...
It gets more psychological than it does
find,
physical.
Though, that my partner will drink one glass of Prosecco, but then... You've got to finish the bottle of Prosecco.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're wasting Prosecco.
Yeah, of course.
Down the hatch.
Yeah.
Donnie, I am drinking Prosecco. Who's the Talk Spot breakfast guy?
Alan Brazil.
Big head.
How can you not remember Alan Brazil's name?
I just can't I just can't keep.
You done the
Giuliani?
You booze it now?
All of the men in my brain. Yeah, him. He just drinks champagne, doesn't he? His favorite tipple is that.
Yeah, so Big Al will. Yeah, he likes the champagne. Mm. He does like a beer as well,
right?
But I think he finds that he wants to warm up with maybe a few beers and then he'll move on to the champagne. Mm.
I just think that I am drinking Prosecco like beer lately.
That's dangerous.
Well, because it has the same mouthfeel as beer to a certain extent, and the sort of beers that I like, very fizzy Stella.
Little Petey, like it fizzy.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I don't mind.
Have a Pepsi Max Cherry. What's wrong with you?
You were talking about.
If you squeezed my breast, you said, what would come out? And I said Pepsi Max Cherry.
Not squeeze isn't right. You said have like a tourniquet around it.
Yeah.
And it would look like a little crab apple.
Yeah.
And then it would just get too taut and then.
Delicious Pepsi Max Cherry. But one thing you have to remember, those who are listening who are absolutely delighted to hear that and aren't at all sickened, it will be room temperature, won't it? It'll be body temperature.
Oh, so imagine that.
You are going to suck on that teat, get a glass with some ice.
It would start.
Use the ice to get the nipple out.
It would start to kind of like, because the blood flow would lessen and the black Pepsi Max would come to the front of the of the skin.
It would look like a bruise.
It would look like a deep black bruise.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, you've really bruised yourself there. Nope.
It's going to be. It's actually going to be one of the challenges on I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here.
I found out about 10 minutes ago that I interviewed a member of the I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here team.
Which one?
It was the woman.
Oh, not Jessica Plummer.
I don't know who is Jessica Plummer.
She's in Neon Jungle.
Yes, Neon Jungle. Yes, yeah. I've interviewed her before. She's very nice.
But she's also an actor in EastEnders, wasn't she?
That's true.
She might still be. I don't know. I don't watch it. But
it's in Wales now, isn't it? I think it's in Wales.
Yeah.
I'm a Celebrity.
I mean, how are they doing that in winter?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of. Yeah, you'd think that they would put. You'd think that they would move it to the summer, wouldn't you? Knowing full well they couldn't do it in Australia.
It's baffling they're doing that. I think maybe a lot of it must have to be inside or something. But the thing is, I'm a Celebrity is. So if you take the big ecosystem that is reality TV, which has kind of morphed into something else now, right? Reality TV used to be mental. It used to be amazing. And it was a real amazing revolution in TV, wasn't it? And now it's kind of become something different because becoming a reality star has been like a means to an end in itself, right? But standing above all those, I think, is I'm a Celebrity.
Right.
I think it's the best one.
Oh, really?
It's just so much more interesting.
Is it? I mean, it's just a lot of...
If you're going to get some celebrities on, make them do some stupid shit. That's what I'm saying. Don't want them sat around. Don't want them trying something new.
No.
I don't want them getting on some epiphanal journey where they're going to feel great about themselves. Mm. Get them eating some...
dicks.
But also...
eat some dicks.
Can I also say that they do a pretty good job of getting better celebrities than the other ones do?
I think they pay a lot more money.
Mo Farah's doing it.
I know. Yeah, but I imagine he's getting paid a ridiculous amount of cash for doing it.
Someone that we both know got offered six figures to do it.
Yeah, okay.
They said no.
Right.
But, I mean, that's 2 weeks in the jungle, isn't
it? And presumably because we know them, they're probably not the most celebrated.
Ah, speak for yourself, mate. Yeah.
So I imagine they probably thought, that's tempting.
It was Jim Campbell. I'll tell you what, six figures, Jim Campbell. You wouldn't see him for dust, he'd be there.
Yeah.
No worries.
I'm right.
We all would. But they've got Mo Farah this year.
Yeah. Well, look, he probably not. Would he be able to? Because obviously he's an endurance kind of runner, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, like, I think he'll probably sort of be all right. We're
not
eating
anything. Running all the time. Where has he gone? He's running back and forward again. Be interesting to see if he puts weight on.
Yes.
Because he's not got a scrap of meat on his bones.
No, exactly. Right. So I think he'll be absolutely fine to eat nothing. That's what I'm saying. I think, but presumably he puts away a lot of calories. Is he still running?
Oh, yeah, he is, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, he would do, wouldn't he? He'd have to. So the people who are on. AJ Pritchard, who is a former Strictly Come Dancing dancer.
Right.
Very handsome young man. Don't know anything about him. Beverly Callard, who used to be Liz in Coronation Street when I used to watch that back in the day. Giovanna Fletcher, don't know who she is. Holly Arnold, don't know who she is. Oh, Paralympic javelin thrower.
Right.
Decent athlete. Jessica Plummer, you've already talked about. Jordan North, don't know who he is. Mo Farah, we talked about. Shane Ritchie, I've met. Lovely fella.
Yeah.
Shane Ritchie, I got a bit starstruck chatting to Shane Ritchie.
Yeah.
He's so like showbiz.
Mm.
You wouldn't expect it because you think, oh, Shane Ritchie's a bit naff. The nicest man, full of charisma, lit up the room,
yeah,
made you feel special, you know. So it'd be good to see him. Vernon Kay, don't know why he's doing it.
Why?
He's got everything going for him.
Has he?
Well, he did have.
Well, he did have a consistently... let's not get into his
his
foibles, but he consistently got into hot water with the press.
He's done so much primetime TV, though.
He's done a certain level of primetime television, yeah.
Do you know what he's like?
Right.
I think Vernon Kay, to me, is you and I sit down and we're in a room and we've got Paddy McGuinness in the room with us. And we say, due to modern techniques and money is no option... We can make this man better.
Yeah.
In every conceivable way.
Right.
I think out the other side of that, you get Vernon Kay.
Well, do you remember he was like
they speak the same, don't they?
He was like a cover star from like back in the day in Ms. Magazine and Just 17 and stuff. He was like a kind of sexy kind of star. And
right.
Then he started doing T4.
Got good teeth.
Got great teeth. Yeah. And a lot of them.
Yeah. He doesn't need to be doing it, is what I'm saying.
I don't think any of them need to be doing it, but then also a lot of them need to be doing it.
My beef is that Victoria Derbyshire's doing it, and she is an absolutely fantastic radio presenter, right?
Yeah.
So's
Jordan Knopf.
She's won, Pete, Victoria Derbyshire, and we're talking about our trade here now, kind of.
Trade.
She's won 6 Sony Gold Awards. 6.
6. I mean, BBC, though, it's like shooting fish in the barrel, isn't it? It's the only ones who used to get them.
This time next week, she's going to be eating a kangaroo's arsehole. And her Sony Gold Awards are not going to help her.
Yeah. Jordan Knopf follows me on Twitter. There you go. Have a bit
that is great. Who is he again?
He's Radio... When I saw that, I thought, oh, fucking hell, he's done well. And then I remembered he is actually on Radio 1 quite a lot.
Jordan Knopf? Why doesn't he follow me?
Oh, well, you're not part of the music radio fraternity. You're not interviewing... bands like Neon Jungle every week.
I flirted with the radio community, but I was only ever through Talksport, which is a bit of a renegade outpost.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you've got the radio community and people are dancing and skipping through the meadows, holding hands, doing time checks, Talksport's like Mad Max. We've got these like built up cars. They drive around with spikes on them.
And everyone's covered in champagne.
Speaking of this, right, we didn't mention it on the ramble today, but I want to mention it to you now. You'll love this as a radio guy. And people listening, you know that we love radio as well on its own face. Pete, you'll love this. So on one of the FA Cup first round games,
right,
at the weekend, it overran and went to a penalty shootout.
Mm-hmm.
And the radio commentator obviously was told at all costs, he's got to do his time check, right?
Right.
And I'm not joking, you can follow the BBC website. The deciding penalty when the guy's walking up to take it, like, say his name's like James Smith, and there's James Smith steps up for the deciding penalty in the crucial FA Cup first round game. The time is 25-5. It's gone! He has to do the
give
time
it a
check.
Rest.
The producer in his ear.
Give
your fucking
rest.
Time checks.
Bad producer.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad
exactly.
Producer.
A bad producer will always say, hit your brakes on time.
Yeah.
Get your time checks.
Do your
in.
Best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never used to do that.
No.
Anyway, will you be watching I'm a Celebrity?
Probably not, to be honest.
There's nothing else to do in 2020.
Yeah, but it might give me precious time when my partner's watching it, because she's a big fan. I could be doing other stuff. I bought a scooter.
Oh, yes.
Scooter. I bought a scooter.
I don't give a penny. Fuck 2020. That's a scooter, isn't it?
Donnie's got a scooter. Yeah, exactly. It's their current single. I can't fucking figure out how to fit the battery. It's so confusing. I had to go. It's practically a lawnmower. It's a 4-stroke Chinese monstrosity, but it's brand new.
How much?
Grand. And
that's not bad.
It's not bad, is it?
No. What's the insurance on it?
But it is a Chinese piece of shit.
What's the insurance on it?
I don't know, because it arrived. I sort of realised that because it's new, it's unregistered. So I was like, oh, I'm going to have to get a fucking licence plate, aren't I?
Oh, yeah.
How do you get licence new ones?
I wouldn't know how to do
how
that.
Do you get new
do your own.
Do your own. Yeah. And just write it with a Sharpie.
Just do
PDD0N. It's so silly. And it all comes new and stuff, and it got delivered around the corner because the road was out, and I was just, oh my god, this is a nightmare. So wheeled it round, and it's there. I've got it, but it's just new and it's really confusing, and I can't figure out how to put the battery in.
I want to hear you riding past on it.
I've bought the Haynes manual.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Mark Haynes.
Mark Haynes' manual, yeah.
Good stuff. He knows everything. I'd like to see you go and hear you go past me on your moped, open face helmet, going like 20 miles an hour, just screaming, "Let's go, Peloton!"
Luke in Banbury.
Have you heard that? Have you heard "Let's go, Peloton"?
What's "Let go"? Is it just the
no one speaks like that.
What, the guys who were the doing advert. the running thing? The cycling thing. Yeah.
Listen to the advert, right? Because no one speaks like that. It's absolutely mad. You hear the advert and it goes, "Let's go, Peloton!" There's no accent to it. It's not American. It's not English.
Are we just people who have never been to spin class? Isn't that how people speak? "Come on now, let's go quicker!"
Yeah.
"Don't go slower, keep going the same speed."
But that just sounds like you.
"Hello!"
Yeah.
I could be a Peloton little cycle man. I'd have a pre-recorded video, loop video of me, of my legs going, and then the top half would be me live.
Have you got a pedal pop? Is it one of those you have to pedal as well?
What?
Like, you can get, like a pedal pop?
No, it's like a shit Vespa. It's a shit Chinese Vespa.
Right, so you've got to get registered, you've got to get a number plate delivered, you've got to put the battery in, and then you can ride
the battery,
it.
Yeah.
You'll never get round to
I've
that.
I've got to attach the wing mirrors as well.
You've got stuff around your house that you've never used. You're never going to use it. It's going to collect dust. It's going to be like Beats and people just do nothing when it's on a driving bag. You can't use the moped. Peter, one thing I wanted to ask you before we go to a break, because we're way overdue, is that you refer to your lady friend as your partner regularly.
Yes.
What's the thinking there? Do you feel like you're too old to have a girlfriend now?
Yeah, I think I was. I'm probably never going to get married, so I think it's important to not use the word girlfriend at 40.
Well, can they not use? Oh, that's what you mean? Because it sounds like a midlife crisis.
It just sounds like a bit of a midlife crisis.
Not you mean.
So I think partner is a very modern way of.
But I'm also your partner, aren't I? I'm in
you
business.
Are my partner.
So
yeah, exactly.
Could get confusing, couldn't it?
Yeah.
I just want a sitcom there. Oh, you wake up next morning in bed with your partner. Oh, but it's Luke.
The thing is, though, I'm like I have described you as my partner, and then I've thought should I write business partner there?
Nah, let them think.
Let them
talk.
Let them talk. Yeah. As long as they're talking, I don't mind.
We've shared beds together before.
Shared beds together.
On more than one occasion.
Yeah. Johannesburg. You
know, we've had cuddles with our tops off. Don't worry about it, man.
We have. I sort of think of 2020 not as a pandemic, but as the year that nobody hugged. Cuddled.
Well, I hugged my wife, obviously.
Yeah, but that's one person. I'm Johnson's for more hugs with new people.
What's your par for a day on a good day?
I think two a day with people that's not in my house, I would say.
And I think it's also the industry we're in is very lovey, isn't it? So like I found when I was doing my show on the radio, I had like, it was a cool team, and you give them a big hug at the beginning, so come on, let's get this done kind of thing. You get a bit of team spirit. And I'd love to do that here, but we can't at the moment.
No.
Sucks, man.
I'd love to hug a neon jungle.
Yeah, I bet you would. Yeah, right. Something else we've got to talk about later.
Let's hit the ad break. Enjoy the ads. We'll be back in a second.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wrestle Me is a show where two men watch every WrestleMania from 1 to 37, unpicking the multicoloured threads that tie it all together.
I think it's slightly something to do with the fact that Americans don't really like cell phones, do they? Right. I think they've all got basic ones, basically.
That's a big shout.
It is a big shout, but I mean, there is something funny about it, like text messaging never took off in the States.
What? Come on now.
Never been big.
Whether you're a lapsed fan or someone who doesn't give a flying laureate about it, there's something for everyone.
If you can get a crowd to boo you for kicking a fabulous ladder.
Fabulous ladder.
And the crowd are booing.
Yeah. Get off that lovely ladder we've just learned about.
It's a beautiful polysexual ladder.
It's a beautiful and a bit of shabby chic creation.
If you climb up to it, ecstasy can be found at the top.
Listen via Spotify, Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods.
Wrestle Me is a Staccano production.
E by Heck. We're back with the Luke and Pete Show. Luke, have you got an email for us?
I do have an email. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is the address. We bloody love hearing from you. And loads of the emails we've had this week, we're going to have to limit them a little bit because they're all about quite horrific personal injuries. And I'm not sure it's going to be a great listening experience after dog shit gate the week before last. So do get in touch with your emails. Do talk to us about I'm a Celebrity. Are you going to watch it? Would you like us to watch it and talk about it on the show, for example?
Please don't say that. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it, I'm afraid.
We'll get your partner instead of you. emailing us about other stuff. What's been going on in your lives? And on that note, this is an email that I've titled Man's Finger Explodes.
Oh, dear.
Hi, Luke and Pete. Long time listener, second time emailer. I emailed you before about a UFO. Which I think means that Lee, who emailed in, was the first guy to email in saying he saw a UFO on the way back from the pub, but did admit that drink had been taken. He said, this story is unrelated to the UFO, but I thought I'd share following your talk about injuries. Basically, my mum bought a second-hand kitchen. Is that even a thing?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you could recycle kitchens, couldn't you, if you're getting rid of one?
Yeah,
but they're invariably unfashionable, aren't they?
That's
the
thing.
I like it though. If you just paint the cabinets.
The people who lived in my I don't.
Have you got an island in your kitchen?
No, it's not picking up. I live in London.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I'd love one. Listen, don't rate. If my wife listens to this, we're in big trouble because there was talk to knock a wall through and get an island. Did no do that because it was expensive. But anyway, the people who... Look, I don't want to cast aspersions on them because I don't 100% know it was them.
Right.
But a certain resident in my house before I lived there, could have been the ones just before, could have been the ones before that, were, and I use this under advice, a fucking disgrace. And the stuff they did in the house was embarrassing.
Right. Like
the kitchen they put in, I don't know if you even be able to picture this, but they didn't have cupboards that you put on the wall and screw in. They just had the sides of the cupboards. So the back had no cupboard. It's just a wall. So there'd be gaps everywhere.
That's confusing.
Terrible.
Mm.
So we had to get the kitchen done. So my point being that I think maybe if the kitchen is being something that just has to be done when the other one's no longer fit for purpose.
Mm.
And I took great pleasure in seeing them smash the shit out of that kitchen because it was an absolute dump. And the people also, I had to get the toilet replaced. And they'd rested, because they couldn't get the toilet to sit straight, they'd rested the toilet on two pairs of wire cutters and filled in around it.
So the wire.
So when they pulled the old toilet off, right, there was two pairs of wire cutters lying face down the floor.
Why don't they? Why didn't they use a bit of wood?
Mental. Absolutely, it's insane.
Have they made of wire cutters?
You know, my first thinking was, well, that's some kind of murder weapon that they found. They've hidden. Anyway. So Lee's mum bought a second-hand kitchen, and a mate with a van and I were tasked with picking it up. The kitchen had been dismantled by the previous owner and included some granite worktops, probably weighing about half a ton each. That's an exaggeration, but we get the point. We loaded the van successfully and delivered it to my mum's house. While unloading the dismantled kitchen, it took three of us to lift the largest of the worktops. I had a grip underneath the worktop, and at one point we needed to readjust our grip. My friends were meant to lower the worktop to the floor, but they dropped it with my finger underneath.
Oh, no.
My finger was squashed between the worktop and the concrete drive. Oh. Needless to say, my finger exploded. Luckily, I didn't require plastic surgery, as the doctors were able to stitch it back together. The only lasting damage is a lack of nerves in my finger and a less than impressive scar. All the best, Lee Young, brackets, not Chinese.
Thank you for that.
Not that he has to say that.
Yeah.
So that's horrific. And I apologise to everyone listening.
Caught between a rock and a hard place.
Quite literally. Mm. I had a terrible... So, interestingly enough, my friend Mark, who regularly listens to The Ramble, and he covered us for the live tour. He came in, remember?
He's a nice chap.
He's a newspaper guy. Mm. Great guy. I worked with him.
Blow away.
Hey?
Yeah. He blown away.
Yeah. He worked with me at a sport... we worked together at a sports shop. And we were mucking around. I think I was 16, he was 17. And I ran around the corner and put my finger in the hinge of a door, and he slammed the door.
Blech.
And I left my nail in it. And it was awful. It still gives me a little bit of trouble now, even though it was 20 years ago. So I can imagine some of the pain that that would have caused.
My fingernail's gone even more lumpy than it used to. That's the one that... See, my fingernail's got a little...
Yeah, what's with that? What's that?
That was the belt sander, the circular sander in CDT class, where I took that
not
off.
Ideal,
but still,
is it?
But still... Yeah, it's still really... I only say because I actually caught it between our new gaming chairs that we've got in the Staccano Studios and the table. And I went, oh, you bugger! And then I looked, I thought I'd broken my little fingernail.
Before we move on from that, I've got... So my friend Adam, he won't be listening, I don't think, is a friend of mine from school. He put a needle from a sewing machine for his fingernail in school. What's it called? Home economics or whatever.
Was he trying to bleed a blister?
And no, he did it by accident. And it actually put a thread right through his finger.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Useful.
Yeah.
Leave it in there.
Yeah, he should have done, but he didn't. Anyway, he was a bit of a character back in the day. And in a nice way. Nice guy. I like him still. And I don't think he ever got any serious trouble. But on Instagram over the weekend, he posted the report, his school report from our tutor. We had the same tutor group, right? And it was very funny to read. But he was 13 at the time.
Right.
And it is absolutely brutal. I could not believe how... Do you want me to read it to you?
Oh, yes, please.
So this is word for word.
I'm allergic to school reports.
Bless you. This is word for word. Adam continues to coast through life, obviously hoping that his charm and cunning will see him through. Unfortunately, this is not the case. And many of the teaching staff are not satisfied with him. In some cases, he has been positively destructive to the ethos of the class. However, some reports indicate that when Adam is quite capable of excellent work, when it suits him, this attitude needs to be applied to every single one of his lessons, even those which he does not like. He remains a likeable member of the tutor group, but much of my time seems to be spent in either reprimanding him or saving him from further punishment elsewhere in the school. Adam had... This is the kind of sentence, right? Listen to this, Pete. Adam has both talent and intelligence. He is wasting one and abusing the other.
That's nice. I think it was well written.
It's well written, yeah. But it is brutal for a 13-year-old boy. I mean, let's be absolutely clear.
Was it handwritten as well?
No, typed.
Typed out.
Then signature. Ooh, at the end. Nice,
the
touch.
End. Nice, yeah. Like it.
Anyway, so...
Not that, time for that.
That is from a tutor of mine who used to spend a lot of his time in class, which I didn't think was weird at the time, given that he was a teacher at a Gosport high school, the worst performing school in the area, saying that he was regularly in contact with and speaking with and personal friends of Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh.
Quite a weird claim.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. Andrew Lloyd Webber. Who's Andrew Lloyd Webber's son?
Don't know. Mm. I want to say Julian Lloyd Webber, but I think I might be getting confused with Julian Lennon. Yeah.
I was reminded of the fact that I once DJed a gig with Sean Lennon.
Right.
And I was like,
sure it wasn't Neil Lennon. was he really mouthy?
And I was like, that's John Lennon's son. That's insane. Yeah, he's just kind of
which,
like
ironically, is the last thing he wants you to say. Oi, oi, until it suits him.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
He wants to talk about it. Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Take a leaf out of Stephen King's son's book. Did years as a novelist without using the King name.
Mm. And then suddenly went, ha ha, I did it. You'd like to think he got a bit of a leg up, surely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Stephen King. Oh, who recommended you to the particular
Dad, just come to the
house.
First meeting with me. Just come to the first meeting. Just dial in.
Bring your spooky car.
Yeah.
Got an email from someone. I'm going to leave this anonymous in a way, but his name sounds like Daniel Johnston, the late great singer-songwriter.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's Daniel Johnson. Morning, afternoon, evening, boys.
I saw him at Pizza Hut once, by the way.
Did you?
He's dead now.
Yeah, he's a heart attack.
Yeah.
Talent. This is not really related to anything you guys have been talking about recently, but I thought I'd enjoy it anyway. To be honest, this email just sounds like he's trying to get it off his chest. When I was 4 years old, my grandma and step-granddad came to visit a few days before I started primary school. You'll see why I clarified he was my step-granddad. I was in my bedroom, so my step-granddad came to help me get changed. A few minutes later, I started to cry very loudly. My mum came in and I complained about my leg hurting. She put me on the sofa and my grandma, a nurse, said I would be fine and my parents are being paranoid. After 20 minutes of me crying and screaming, I'm never going to be able to walk again, my parents drove me to the hospital. When we arrived, two doctors got me from the car on a stretcher, had to snap my leg back into position because my femur had snapped in two.
Oh, bloody hell.
So much so that my mum claims the top part of my leg was square. I spent 6 to 7 weeks lying in a hospital bed, unable to get up or move around. After this, I left in a wheelchair for 6 weeks. My parents spent much of these 6 to 7 weeks trying to find out what had happened in their bedroom, but my step-granddad managed to avoid the question. So to this day, I'm now 21, and we have no idea what had happened, and I don't think I ever will. Dan, I think you... I started reading that email and it got very dark very quickly. I think you need to talk to the fucking police, mate.
I think you need to go make a podcast series of this. True crime, isn't it?
True crime. What happened in that bedroom, Daniel Johnson?
We don't know how old your step-grandfather
Johnston.
Is, but he's a step-grandfather, so yeah. He's not going to be young.
Might not be with us anymore.
It's a good point, actually. I mean, the femur is the worst of all the bones to break.
Which
in
is the
opinion.
Femur?
It's that one. The biggest.
What can you drop on a child to do that?
The one that has no respect for any of the other bones because it's so big and hard.
It's so chunky.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's bad.
Gross.
How old was he at the time?
4.
Yeah. Not ideal.
Not ideal, is it, Daniel Johnson?
We're only reading the stories that you send in.
He's now 21. 7 years ago.
7 years ago?
17 years ago.
Fuck you now. Right, we're wrapping up on that. That is absolutely outrageous by you. My goodness me. And the authorities of this country have said that you're perfectly capable of going on the road. That's what they said.
Oh, my brain femur snapped.
Let's go. What we will do is we'll be back on Thursday, obviously. But if you have got emails of your school reports, send a screenshot, send them verbatim. Don't just make them up because that'll be tedious. Email them in, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Send us emails in for anything you like, but that would be amazing if we can hear some particularly brutal or even actually some nice reports from all the nerds out there.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't get enough press. Everyone wants to hear about the naughty ones.
Send us x-rays of your femur if you've got one.
Yeah.
Mm.
How far away are we from home x-ray kits?
I don't know. Surely it's a pretty kind of, it's an old technology, isn't it?
It's dangerous though, I guess.
You reckon? Well, if you just do it too many.
Well, that's why the guy has to go beyond the screen, because if you do them over and over again, you get in big trouble.
But could you not just kind of could it not be firmware limited that you're only allowed 2 x-rays a month on whatever you want? You got to make them count.
Would you buy one of them?
Yeah.
For a grand?
Yeah, because you can x-ray, you can find cancers and stuff on x-ray, can't you?
Do all your wrestling figures.
Do all your
yeah.
Little skeletons inside. It's not a skeleton inside this one.
Oh no, it's just soiled bandages. Let's get out of here. We'll be back on Thursday with some more of this nonsense. Thanks for listening. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Get in touch if you can. Leave us a review. Tell your friends. All that good stuff. Have a great week. We'll see you on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.